Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Of those things where you know that everybody there has the exact same likes and passions that you do. You don't always have to agree on the exact movies and who your favorite characters are, but in my life, I don't think I've ever been in part of any group that I was so well connected to, where I felt like all of these people were my chosen family, and I just love being there to the point where I can't even describe it. You know, it's like one of those things where you see movie families, you know, and you go, oh, aren't they happy? Well, you go to this family that you chose and you don't even know 95% of these people, but you just feel like that's your place. Do you guys feel that way?
Well, the girls make fun of me for talking to strangers. So, because I just talk to anyone that, if you know, about anything.
Mostly when we're at a store trying to.
Hey, I promote.
Talking to people in a store turns into podcasts. So
that's true.
Interesting. Yeah, Ken, we're talking about the 501st. That's actually what got me, you know, what was interesting about what Ken, we're looking at Star Wars figures at Target. And Ken mentioned something about the 501st. And I said, oh, tell me more.
Well, you have to come with Ken once all this craziness is over. You just come over and you can hang out at my place. We'll make a helmet or two.
Oh my God. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
How about you, Demetrius?
No, he's completely serious though.
Oh yeah, that is for sure. Well, I have Mandalorian coins. I've got a C-3PO that I personalized. So instead of it being, you know, the gold protocol droid, it's a sparkly purple. I've turned it into a little display on my one shelf. Armor parties are quite fun. In fact, you know, armor parties are what introduced me to the Hintons. So,
yeah, yep.
How about you, Demetrius? What do you think George is trying to teach us related to families and all these Star Wars shows?
I mean, without like repeating what the others have said, I think it's just that to change the concept of family and make it less about last name and lineage, and more about the purpose and the sort of goals and the sort of like underlying unifying things. At the same time, it shows that even families that might not be like the star characters could still have like massively meaningful impact in the trilogies and, you know, and beyond. So, I mean, I know we're going to get into a little bit some of the families in specific, but like, you know, the ones that really hooked me were the Ursos, and like even learn about the Ursos until Rogue One. You sort of like hear a little bit here and there. Then you realize, oh my God, these are like almost the most pivotal family in like the whole thing. And they're just this underlying character. And kind of to Anthony's point, like I get so engrossed to start reading and learning more about them. And I almost forget that it's not a real history. And yet like, oh, well, they know where he went to school and who he studied with and who his partner was in, like, you know, science class and all this. It's like somebody wrote this, but, you know, I'm just going to put that aside, just like really get into it. But yeah, the concept of family is different. I mean, Anthony and I are on this together because we went to college together. I've known each other for 30 years, right? So he said, I'm like a brother. It's mutual. It's more than that. It's not just blood relation. We don't have that at all. It's something else that unifies you.
And when we were in college, and it was in the 90s, Star Wars was the thing that, it's odd because it was the unspoken thing that all of us had in common. And we just referenced it. I mean, do you remember me? You know, I forget what the exact phrase was. Do you prefer another target, a military target? But it wasn't that
name the system. Yeah, you'd use that for everything.
But we use it for everything, right? And then you didn't have to, the other people, if they were in the group, they would know that's the reference, right? Like, we know where that reference is from. And it's just like doing that a million times without having to explain it is what makes Star Wars kind of the backstory, like the background music to all our lives.
I mean, or when something bad or sad would happen, you'd have someone go, boop, boop.
That was you. That was always you.
Or Eric Sheevy or something.
So guys, he actually did do that all the time. He would always, when something bad happened, you'd always hear in the background, boop, boop.
I mean, you know, I'm in the product design world. I've spent a lot of years in branding, and you talk a lot about like tribes, right? And identifying tribes through what they wear, through what they do, through what they listen to. It's like, if I'm wearing my Liverpool t-shirt and I see another guy at the airport wearing a Liverpool t-shirt, you've automatically got something to talk about. And it, you put all other barriers aside. It's no different than, you know, a sports team, a band. Star Wars is very the same, except it's got so much more depth and so many more layers that you can identify with all these subgroups and sub-characters. I don't know. It's like nothing else.
When I missed the memo in the 80s, like when Star Wars first came out, it was everywhere. It was like, you know, like there was slushy cups, the whole deal. And then Empire came out. Like Star Wars was the first movie that surprised us all. But then Empire was the first movie we looked forward to. You know, like it was the first time we were looking forward to it. But then somewhere between Empire and Jedi, I missed the memo where it wasn't cool to like Star Wars anymore. You know, because I still liked it. Like, there were still people that liked it, but all of a sudden that a lot of people shed off of that group and it wasn't, you know, and I was like, oh, really? Because then, like, then I was left with almost no Star Wars friends going into the 90s. I was just, you know, isolated from, like, I was just my own little, I would go to, like, stores and try to find, like, I just remember when Bendham's came back. Bendham's came in, like, I want to say that'd be like 92, 93-ish or something like that. Times. And I went and bought a Bendham only because the R2 had the third leg. I was like, okay, it'll kind of match my figures, but he has that third leg. So I bought a Bendham. And then I started my store. And on purpose, the one whole side of my store was just old vintage Star Wars in little Ziploc baggies. I would sell them $8 without a weapon, $10 with a weapon. That was, you know, if I had all those now, I'd have $20, but and back to what you were saying about your parents, like getting the toys for you and how much it meant. My grandparents didn't have much. I remember when they went up to $1.99, my grandmother was like, that's too much. We can't, you know, get those figures. But we had an unclaimed freight store run by Amish people in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. And they would, I got a TIE fighter because the box was all mangled up.
Oh, wow.
You know, because it was like a third of the cost. You just went into the Amish unclaimed freight and got a, you know, and that's, those toys were somewhat valuable for people that didn't have a lot of money. You always had that friend that had the Death Star and the friend that had the Millennium Falcon. But, you know, I had Chewie and I think a Stormtrooper and a couple Jawas and a Land Speeder that had a broken wheel and a TIE fighter whose one wing popped off all the time.
You know, my dad used to make fun of me when I got older for still being a Star Wars fan. So, you know, I would wear the shirts and I, you know, before nerdy was cool again. And I said to him, I said, Dad, you and your friends wear Mets shirts, Yankee shirts. What's the difference? Like, you're just believing in something. You're wearing somebody else's uniform. You're not a member of the New York Mets. You're not, you know, I'm not a, you know, Star Wars character, but that's who I choose to identify with.
And we can make you one. We can make you one.
A New York Mets character?
No, we can make you a Star Wars character. Like I sometimes wear my Stormtrooper shirt just because I know I'm not a real Stormtrooper, but I'm not any less a Stormtrooper than anyone else. Right. You know.
I mean, and it's who we choose to identify as, right? Because this is my what I like, and it's not a sexual gender or anything like that. It's not that important, but it is to us. It's an externalization of who we think we are inside. And just in the same way that people follow sports religiously, this is our thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And
right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing with sports either.
One of the things that really jumps out, you know, back to the idea of family and the lessons is that family changes over time, you know, so whether we're talking about a birth, so you have a new member of the family, or a death and that you lose a member of the family, or you meet new people along the way and your family grows in those ways, that shows up over and over and over and over again, you know, in Star Wars. You know, in fact, the Ewok movies, which are now on Disney Plus for all of you to enjoy, those movies, from what I understand, George wrote to help teach his daughter some important lessons, even about death. You know, those movies, if you watch the Ewok movies, they're kind of dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so he used those lessons to teach many things, or he used those movies, rather, to teach many things. And for me, one of the biggest things was, you know, your family will change. It won't be constant, and it won't necessarily be what you think it will be. And you have to still acknowledge and accept and grow and develop with it. Because if you resist it, you're gonna be mad or disappointed or frustrated or turn to the dark side, like, you know, some of the characters on the screen.
What is it Luke says in The Last Jedi? This won't turn out the way you think, or something like that.
Yep, almost word for word, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I do have a question from one of our listeners, and I think now would be a good time to talk about it. And the question was, you know, for everyone here, how do you share Star Wars with members of your family who may be a little bit reluctant or don't like it nearly as much as you do? So how do you do that successfully? How do you share Star Wars with your reluctant family members?
I think in some ways, I don't know about reluctant, but some of the family members that aren't quite as into it, in some ways they try to share it with us. You know, like whenever a new Star Wars news comes out, they'll like tag us on Facebook, like, did you see this? And I'm like, yeah, thank you. You know, even though I've already seen it a million times, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's one of those like little things where I think it just does, you know, even if they don't quite, you know, always understand it, it's one of those little things that shows that they do care, you know, and they like, they're maybe like, I don't really quite get the Star Wars thing, but like, I know you guys like it, so I want to share it with you. And I think it's one of those sweet things that I think, you know, the family just does for each other, where you try and get excited about stuff with people, even if it's not really your thing.
I saw this and it made me think of you.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like a picture of Chewie, and I'm like, thank you.
Well, I don't have any other than my wife and kids. I don't have any other family, you know. I'm like a loner, but my wife's family has become my family. And when we first started basically raising our kids with Star Wars, I think everyone thought that the girls were hostage to Star Wars. You know, like, oh, they don't really like Star Wars, but Mike's making them do it.
It's a cult.
And then my in-laws went to, I think it was a library event, wasn't it, Zoe?
I thought it was the grocery.
Oh, yes, a food drive. We did a food drive, and the girls were Jawas, and I was a stormtrooper. And once they saw what we did and how much the girls loved it, it changed their whole perspective on Star Wars. It, you know, I don't know if my in-laws ever wound up watching Star Wars, but they at least they listened, you know, to it wasn't strange to them. And same with what Zoe was saying. I have people at work. I think it's like a contest of who can tell me something Star Wars that I haven't heard yet. You know, I remember we were going to an early premiere of one of the movies, and someone at work was like, "Do you know there's a new Star Wars movie coming out?" Like, yeah, I'm going to see it tonight. You know,
yeah. How about you guys? What are some?
I mean, I have similar in the sense that like it's an opportunity for people to send you a meme or something like when they're thinking about you. This just really made me think of a story that I'll try to not tear up like Anthony usually does. When I was a little kid, we used to spend most summers in Greece visiting my grandparents and my other cousins, because my parents emigrated to the US in 1970. And Greece at the time, and I don't know if they still do, I think probably different, would get all the movies a lot later than everybody else, right? Like they just sort of roll out on a different cadence. So the summer of 78 was the year after Star Wars came out. And it was our first trip back while my parents were getting their green cards. You can't leave the country for 5 years. So this is the first time they got to go back and see their family in 5 years. We're staying with my grandparents in Athens at their apartment. If you know anything about Athens in the summer, it is just like brutally hot. And they didn't have air conditioning back in those days. What they do have is a gigantic balcony. And lo and behold, right across the street from their apartment was an outdoor movie theater, because you have outdoor movie theaters in Greece. And what was playing all summer but Star Wars? Now, I couldn't hear it, if I could see it, and I didn't need to hear it because I knew everything. But so to be a six-year-old and to be cooped up in this hot apartment, my grandparents, all they had to do was say, hey, it's showtime, and let me out on the balcony to just sit there and be occupied for a couple of hours, happy as a clam, just to watch Star Wars for the 30th time across the street. And, you know, they weren't obviously Star Wars fans. They were in their 80s or late 70s. Who knows what? They probably were like 55, but they seemed 80. We were little kids. But yeah, that like just totally jumped out to me. So a little bit different than what you asked, Ken, but certainly memorable and family related.
Do you think it was played in Greek?
No, it would have been actually in English and then with subtitles.
Oh, okay.
They weren't really doing a lot of dubbing back then, and the dubbing was horrible. Let's be honest.
Because for some people, Star Wars is Greek to them, so I'm just...
When funny enough, funny. In Greek we say that's Chinese to me because we already speak Greek.
How about you, Anthony? What's running through your head?
When I went to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago in 2019, the Star Wars the trailer came on for Rise of Skywalker, and I was with my son Xavier and my nephew Dalton, and when the trailer came on, I don't have words to describe it. I got to share that trailer with my nephew and my son. And the feelings, that, you know, and you guys were there, you know how powerful that was. I mean, the crowd lost their mind when they said the word Skywalker, right? And every time I see that trailer replayed back from Celebration, I start crying. Every single time. And to me, it's like one of the perfect moments that I had to share Star Wars with my son. He's a Star Wars fan, but he's not a mega Star Wars fan. But that was the day that, you know, he got on the internet. If you guys remember, can you remember? He was on the internet because he met with Ian McDiarmid, and everybody said, because he was wearing the Kylo Ren outfit, and comicbook.com ran the story. Like, is this what's going to happen in the film? And it was just an amazing moment, but I'm not a poet, so I'm not good with words, but it was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever had in my life with my son. You know, and I'm sure that Mike and Zoe share a lot of that, which is why I'm so you know, I look up to them so much, because you don't get a lot of those moments, you know, and when they stand out when you have them. So to me, that's what I think about. I think about that when I was a kid, and the Star Wars figures, and the other one, the Star Wars Celebration, you know, and very special moments to me.
But isn't that one of the cool things about Star Wars, is it doesn't like age, right? So like my nephew got into Star Wars when he was a little kid, and he's 30 now, and I shoot him memes like it's still part of his life. It's not like other things where like, oh, I'm not going to watch, you know, Bugs Bunny anymore, Mickey Mouse. Maybe those are bad examples, but there are things that you just sort of age out. And I think, Mike, you said it. Like, there's a period of time where when Empire came out, yeah, the kid that watched New Hope at 7 and Empire at 8, at like 12, 13, they're like riding skateboards and chasing girls. They're not into like kids' movies anymore.
And they didn't tell me I was supposed to do that.
Yeah, and it shifted, right? So, it's both acceptable and cool and generational, and it's different than really anything.
It's funny you said that, because we were watching that trailer for Space Jam. Did you see the new Space Jam trailer?
Yeah,
I worked on the first Space Jam, just saying.
Would you watch the new one that just came out?
I will not watch the second one. Well, no offense, LeBron.
the trailer came out, and one of the things that was in the trailer was they had the Looney Tunes characters like Bugs Bunny and Lola and Yosemite Sam. And you just mentioned that when I was a kid, all of us were kids. We used to watch that stuff. Mike, Ken, you guys watch that too, right? We used to watch that when we grew up. They don't hold up anymore. Like, no. They look like they don't fit this world anymore. So, you know, referring to what Demetrius said, some things just last, the test of time. Looney Tunes are not one of those things. And they were huge.
Well, they had a good 70, 80 year run. Let's give them some credit.
Yeah. Well, see, and I was raised by my grandparents in the 70s, but they were raising me like I was being raised in the 50s, you know, because they weren't prepared to have a kid thrown on them, you know, and So we watched all that stuff, but yeah, it doesn't, some of that stuff doesn't age well. You can look at any sci-fi movie that came out between 77 and 80 trying to mimic Star Wars, and somehow they missed the mark.
Rogers.
They probably spent more money, and I don't know if it's the heart, if it's the story, if it's how it just, if it just hit at the right time. I think there's a whole bunch of that stuff. And then back to what you were saying about with Celebration, that's how I am with Zoe with premiere opening night. Like, it's just like, I think the ride or the Force Awakens is one of my favorite. Besides, you know, I know some people don't like it, whatever. It's one of my favorite, and I've lucked out and got to see all the movies in the theaters when they came out. But because I, that first time I watched it, I watched Zoe and Safi more than I watched the movie.
Oh, wow.
Like, I just, because I knew exactly what it was going to do for them, what it did for me as a young kid. I just knew that's what it was.
Well, that was the first movie where our family decided to go on opening night. So from The Force Awakens all through The Rise of Skywalker, our family made sure we got tickets for opening night. And then after a while it was, we would get tickets for the first showing of it, and I would get an extra ticket for the next showing. So everyone would come together, and then they would leave, and I'd get to watch it again the second time without the other stuff. But the
Force Awakens, yeah, that's for me, you did that, and you didn't get any sleep this time. I remember.
So. I didn't get it. I didn't get sleep. The Force Awakens is really, really funny because, you know, we went. It was me, Heather, and the boys, and they were teenagers at the time. And I can remember coming out of it, and like I said, we watched the first showing of it, and we're walking through the lobby. And our oldest son says, "Man, I can't believe they killed Han Solo in the lobby."
that's like a Homer Simpson meme.
Exactly, 100%. We thought he was gonna get swore. Like, oh, we gotta go. So we just, you know, tucked him under our arm and scooted him out. I don't know who heard him, but
my wife still heard.
To this day, and it's now a family joke. You know, like, oh yeah, are you gonna ruin the movie for everyone in the lobby?
What theater did you go to?
We saw it at, I think The Force Awakens, we saw it at the Tilton.
All right, so I am not making this up. I'm not exaggerating this. I think it was my wife that heard them. My wife, to this day, cannot believe somebody said that in the lobby before we saw the movie.
It's your last time on this podcast now. She's going to find out.
It's funny because I'm actually going to tell her afterwards. I think that may have been Ken's kid.
He thought you were just talking to us, like everyone's in line waiting to go in. I can't believe they killed Han Solo.
Well, that was the first movie where we got our credit card bill. And I was like, who spent $700? And here, my wife's like, you went to see that movie every weekend, twice sometimes for the last month.
Because you're like, oh, okay. That's fine.
Okay. Well, because I grew up, the few times we went to the movie, I guarantee we never got snacks. Like, you know, so I go overboard. Like, if I go to a movie, there has to be, there has to be a bucket of popcorn there, and you know, so.
Oh my god! I just saw King Kong with my son like last weekend, and it's great to see the theater sold out again, right?
Yeah.
They have this thing now where you can buy the super size and you get the refills. Even if I don't eat the second one, I have to get it available.
Yeah.
They said I can get it, so I'm gonna get it.
Well, we took when the pandemic hit here, they were selling giant bags of popcorn, like 3 foot, 4 foot tall bags of popcorn for the theater. And you got a free ticket when they opened back up. So we took Safi, she's the big movie popcorn person. So we dressed her as 000 from the waist up, and we drove to get, and I put my stormtrooper on, and we drove to get the popcorn.
And
the guy looked at me and he's like, well, here's two. He gave us two extra tickets just because we were, I was like, cool.
You're still eating it?
We did it a second time, and that cured me of that. Until recently, we just bought her another one, but it cured me for the whole summer because it was just like, you were just eating it for the sake of, I can't throw this out, you know.
And you can't feed it to the birds because the birds don't like it because it's been buttered and salted.
Well, and also if you throw it in, our dog would eat it, and then I'd have a big problem.
Oh.
So okay, we're talking about families. We were supposed to talk about families, but we ended up talking about our own families. So maybe that's a better way of doing this anyway.
Well, with that said, are there any of the Star Wars family that you feel connected to or inspired by or?
Yeah, well, just going to your list. You have a pretty complete list here. So you missed the Martez sisters, I will say.
That's a good point from Rebels.
Or Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
Yes. But I just, as part of a pair of sisters, I always like the Martez sisters who are more recent, but I also like the Kreezes as a kid, just because, like, you look at a lot of the families and it's like brothers or like a brother and a sister, and the Ticos too, the Ticos as well.
Rose, you know, and sister.
Yeah, just because, like, me, you know, I just have, you know, I got me and my sister, and you don't see that as much, I feel like, in general, and especially in Star Wars. So I've always, even though, you know, like, especially with, like, the Kreezes, it can be a little dysfunctional, I've always liked seeing that kind of relationship portrayed.
And they are both Star Wars fans. Like I said, Sappy's more behind the scenes kind of person. But growing up with, it was funny having two girls like Star Wars, because Zoe, she would get upset that there was no girls Star Wars clothes. Mm. Like it was like her mission to, you know, luckily Ashley Eckstein came along. Safi was like, I don't care. Just go to boys get me a Star Wars shirt.
I was like, on principle, refuse to wear the boys Star Wars shirts.
But on to families, and I can't remember if it was on your list. And I read this book, and don't judge me, the first princess, Amidala's book. Which one was that, Zoe? The first one
is Queen's Shadow.
It's Queen's Shadow. I recommend that book for, it doesn't look like something a man would, you know, I'm not trying to say men can't read that kind of, but it doesn't look like a book I would read. It made me love Phantom Menace more. Like, I always liked Phantom Menace, but it made it a better movie for me. But it was that family of all those handmaidens with Padme. And what a wonderful group of people they were, where their job was to protect her and keep her safe. And then when they didn't have to do that anymore, most of them broke off and tried to better the universe. And I just thought that was like,
you don't know much about them, right? Like, you don't, yeah, that's a really good point. Like, you don't really hear anything about them.
And that's a good, like, I would recommend that book if you're looking for a story.
Queen's Shadow and Queen's Peril both are really about the handmaidens.
Yeah, and it just reminded me of that family that has like that dynamic that, like, the whole point of a family is to help each other and stuff like that. But eventually, as much as I hate to say it, I know Zoe, her pursuits are going to probably send her to the West Coast, and it's going to be extremely hard on me. I can hardly stand that she's in Philly right now, which is only like an hour and a half away. But as a parent, the brain of me tells me that I've done it right, that I've tried to give her some good, that she will spread and build her own whatever, you know, hopefully
pass on what she's learned.
Right. And hopefully she'll hire me to get her coffee when she's a big whatever.
She knows you can fix a furnace.
Yeah, I can build some armor. But, you know, I mean, that's coming back to that family and seeing what they did in Queen's Peril. Is that the one? Am I saying the right
Queen's
one?
Queen's Peril and Shadow.
They got a name. I'm too old to have names that are too close.
Well, the new one coming out is Queen's Hope.
Oh, so. God. you know. But and the other thing is, which we haven't talked about, and I'm surprised I haven't promoted it, but when Star Wars Stories came here, that's opened up a whole nother family for us. Like, we've become family with the people that were on that show.
That's a great episode.
I still cry on that. I watch that. It plays at my house, at least for me, once a day, and I still tear up. And I know.
Tell us a little bit about that, for, you know, because, you know, your listeners know about it, Zoe, Mike, everyone knows about it.
I made my students watch.
So tell the listeners for the forces behind Star Wars, the story behind Star Wars Stories.
Well, it's, I think, just like the general concept I should explain first. It's a show on the Star Wars YouTube channel. There's two seasons of it now, I think. Run by Jordan Hembro. You might know from like Toy Hunter, if you watched that show at all. And he basically just goes to different people and talks to them about their Star Wars story. It's called Our Star Wars Stories, and it's about their, you know, experience and connection with Star Wars. There's a lot of really good ones. There's the one about the Perales family, who we're really close to. They were one of the first ones, and about how Star Wars, you know, bonded them as a family and what that means to them. They're, I think another one of my favorites, and maybe partially because I've gotten fairly close to him too, is Dale Hopkins, talking about how he relates Star Wars to his journey as a cancer patient and what that means to him and how it inspires him. It's a beautiful story. And then obviously we were on it.
And as a parent,
you say this so nonchalantly. Yeah, obviously we were on it.
Well, as a parent, we ran into Jordan somehow. I think it's celebration, but I mean, even before that, somehow they got in hold of me and they said, "Oh, we'd like to do it."
Lizzie mentioned me in their episode. That's what it was. I think that's how it started.
And then we saw them at celebration and they said something to us. And as a parent, I'm always like, a lot of people say a lot of things, you know, so I didn't want to get my hopes up. I was like, okay, yep, you'll come out to Quarryville, Pennsylvania and do a story on us. I'm sure that'll happen, you know? And, but then it you know, we met Jordan. I've become good friends with Jordan, and they came and they were just so nice to Zoe. And to me, like, my life would have been so much better in middle school and high school if someone would have told me that anyone remotely tied to Lucasfilm would be at my house someday.
Right.
I would have been able to go through all the pain and suffering of growing up if someone would have just snuck that into me, you know, traveled back in time, just give me a note. And they were so nice. And when they first said they were doing it, I figured Jordan Hembro was going to show up with a camera. They'd sit in our living room and they'd shoot the show. 20 minutes gone, you know, because I saw the show. They're not very long. They came one day and did like pre-shoots, like with a drone. Yeah, with a drone. And then they came to my house, and you know my house, Ken. They were like, it's like an open floor plan downstairs. They're like, well, we just need you to move everything out of this room. You know, can you just move everything? I was like, okay.
Well, we have this giant
sectional
couch.
Like,
it's this giant couch, like a big angled couch. It's essentially the wall for the living room, just because of where it is. And they're like, can you move that? And I didn't think we'd be able to do it, but he was like, sure, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll take it. So I emptied the whole house, and then when they showed up, I had a charity shirt on. It was we did a cancer run for dogs, Paw Wars. It was to raise money for cancer. It's the first time a dog peed on me while I was in my stormtrooper arm. He thought I was a tree. But anyway, so I had a shirt on, and one Disney exec guy said, or Lucasfilm guy said, can you please make sure you wear a licensed shirt tomorrow? I was like, okay. I had to dig through all my shirts. I had like one that was like, it was like packing a sausage into a, you know, I was like, okay, this is like two sizes too small. And, because all my stuff is like 500 first, or, you know, and then from making stuff, a lot of my stuff gets ruined, has like resin spilled all over. And and then they came all day, and they have five cameras, a sound man.
They had five cameras. They had a big they like turn our kitchen into a sound office. They
we had to move stuff. They're like, can you take the TV off? I had to take the TV off the wall. I had, because it would reflect something. Yeah, it was on a mount. They're like, can you move that or cover it? I was like, okay. Well, it was mounted on like a block, and then we stood our Jawa cots. People were like, what kind of idiots live in a living room with Jawas standing in there? You know, there. So we had to like set the stage.
The Hintons live like that.
Yeah. But it was so much fun. But they were there all day.
They let me use the cameras because
Zoe got production credit. They gave her actual production credit for it, which is pretty funny.
If you look at the credits, my name's in it as a PA.
And she
were in Star Wars Insider too.
Oh yeah.
Only six pages.
Well, we lucked out. My friend Marty is a professional photographer, and he's friends with Jordan Hembro just because he's done some events for him in the past. So I said, Marty, hey, Star Wars Stories, come to my house. Can you come take pictures? So we were one of the few episodes.
We're the only one.
A professional photographer taking behind the scene pictures while we were filming. They put us in that. They were so nice. And
I made them food, and they all got the recipe. They all owned my recipes.
Yeah, Zoe cooked them all because, you know, she fed them all.
Well, and, just, you know, it's not like where we are, we can just order pizza.
Yeah, we don't have any, you know. And then...
The Amish don't deliver?
No. Nope. And then it was right before COVID hit.
DoorDash.
We were the last. We were the last show filmed before COVID, and then the rest had to be done via, you know,
Zoom. Yeah.
So well, I feel grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, I remember it was because we filmed it on like the last day of my spring break is when we filmed it, and so like we filmed it, and then I went back to school after spring break, And then I had like a week of classes, and then they kicked us all out for COVID. So it was really like right pushing up against.
And hers is the most viewed episode. Just saying.
He is
that's because you view it all the time, Mike.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's only unique views. But yeah, I have a spreadsheet. I know like which episode
and how many VPN and 76 aliases.
No, I just keep track of that. I promote my kids. My kids don't play sports, so I don't have to be a sports dad. But when it comes to like Zoe works hard, and you guys know what it's like to do a podcast. It's fun. And none of us would do it if it wasn't fun, but it's a lot of effort, you know, and I just want them to get the effort that they're, you know, get the, what they get out of it. Like they've been doing it. They started right before, what was it? September before Force Awakens is when the girls started their podcast.
I think I started in September, but then Lizzie started in October. I think
yeah, like something right like in the that.
Beginning of October.
And they took like they were very lax in getting shows out. Like they would be on episode like 500 if they, you know, but I try to walk that fine line of not nagging and nag at the same time, you know, because I'm like, look, your numbers are down. You have to get a new show up by Monday. No,
I just realized that out of the five of us, I'm the only one that has no real link to Star Wars. All the rest of you are somehow connected to the awesomeness of Star Wars. And I'm just hanging out with coolness. I mean, Demetrius, you worked through us.
Except you've got the wealth of knowledge that I'll never have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You and Sal Perales should talk.
I would listen to that podcast, actually.
Because you and Sal have probably the deepest knowledge of Star Wars overall. Like, you know, I'm pretty knowledgeable, but I'm pretty blank on like the EU. Because I heard an interview from Lucas in the 80s where he said none of it counted. So I just like, well, I'm not reading any of that if George doesn't think it counts, you know. But we're all linked to Star Wars. I mean, like, so we have, like, to me, what you were saying about Celebration, if anyone goes to Celebration, like, not, now I know it's not everyone can go because of work and price and location. And so it's not like if you don't go, you're a terrible person. But if you go that, you've touched that level of Star Wars inside yourself where, you know, at any person in there, you have something in common and it feels good. We went to Disney. Our second time at Disney was the first day of the last Star Wars weekends that year. Like, remember they did Star Wars weekends?
Yep.
That was what made me decide I definitely want to go to Celebration, because by the end of the week, right before the weekend started, you just saw Star Wars shirts popping up. And this was, you know, this was before, I think this was before Force Awakens, wasn't it?
Before Force Awakens.
It was, so Star Wars still wasn't back to what it is now. And
I think it was like Rebel Season 1.
Yes, Rebel Season 1.
Very early.
And you would just see kids people with Star Wars shirts. And they dressed up. Like, I don't know. I've only been to Disney twice. But the by where the Endor ride is, or the Endor...
Star Tours.
There's that little cafe to the left. They decked it all out in Mandalorian stuff. It looked like a Mandalorian bar. Like, they had Mandalorian helmets hanging. They had pieces of X-Wings.
It was like a Rebel base, and it was all, yeah, it was Mandalorian stuff and like Jedi stuff. It was like all like, it was like a mishmash collection.
Yeah, it was just so subtle. Like, if you just walked in there and you just wouldn't know it, but, you know, and that was just such a good feeling. Except the girls were picking about all the costume. I made them costume snobs. They're like, there's something wrong with that Darth Vader. Yeah.
His knees upside down.
Well, you put us in costume throw. That's one thing, being a Jawa at age 6. I was like that one kid that's like, it's not really like Duke in the costume at Dutch Wonderland. Yeah, like, I know. I do the same thing at like 7 years old. And the other kids would be like, okay.
Well, you could tell them that my bad parenting story when you're the first time you were a Jawa.
Oh, the first time
the lecture I used to give you like telling the story to people.
Oh, like, yeah. No, every time when we were in a Jawa, when we were going to be Jawas, like on the car ride on the way to the troop, he'd be driving and he'd be like, okay, do not take your mask off. Do not, like, it was like a rule, like, you can't take your mask off because you can't let people know you're not a real Jawa, and you can't mess with other people's costumes, and you can't just like all these, you can't talk. You have to make your Jawa noise. Like you have to be a good Jawa. It was a good Jawa lecture on the way to
Well, that's the way. This is the way.
This is the way.
That's what they got from the Mandalorian. It was from Mike Hinton.
Well, they didn't let the kids back then in 08, no one let kids come to these events because, you know, they didn't want most, if you don't have young kids of your own and you spend all this money to put a costume on and do a charity event, you don't want to have to trip over someone's annoying kids, you know? And so I told my kids, you know, you respect what you're doing. And they went above and beyond any person ever. You would never see my girls not be a Jawa. And then they've lucked out. Like Zoe at least has gotten easier costumes. Safi has progressively got harder costumes. But you know, I still am in awe that I can still do things with my kids because my girls are at that age where the parents, you know, it goes so quick. You know, I'm putting pictures together for Safi's graduation right now, and I'm getting that sad dad feeling, you know, because it goes so quick. And I look at Zoe and I see this hopefully young Star Wars executive in the making or Star Wars director or whatever she wants to do. But there's a slight tinge of sadness, you know, when I won't be able to help her make her costumes because she'll be on the other side. I'll just probably have to mail it to her, but no Mando Mercs party. We'll have to go out to California for a Mando Mercs party.
I'll come back.
Years ago.
And when you said your bad parenting story, I thought you wanted me to talk about when you showed me Troops.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's a good one too.
We were going to do an episode about Troops of these spinoffs.
Yeah. We hadn't been Jawas for very long. We were very little. I was probably like 7. And he's like, oh, come here. I found this little Star Wars thing I want to show you. I was 7. I think Safi was probably like 5 then. And he sits us down on the couch and he turns on the TV and he has it. And it's Troops. And if you know Troops, right, sort of in the beginning, there's like the stormtroopers talking to the Jawas. And it seems normal. And then they shoot the Jawas head off.
I was foggy on the details when I first showed
it. It's so wrong. It's so right.
We were crying. We were kids and we were Jawas. We love Jawas. So we were crying. We run upstairs.
Well, there was a magazine called DVD or something, and it came with a copy on DVD, like taped inside the magazine, of Troops. And I had that for years. And I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, show, and I just forgot that they shot a Jawa's head off. So,
oops.
You know, what are you going to think?
When we were, when we had the storm here years back, I think it was one of the hurricanes, and it was on the same, it was the same week that we found out that we were being bought by Disney, the same week that we found out that they're continuing the Star Wars saga, and we had a hurricane here, and the lights went out for like 5 days. So we didn't have power at our house. So we went back to the office where we did have power and we were filming. We didn't have anything to do. So we started filming. I guess you guys have heard of Star Wars Uncut, right?
Yeah.
So we were filming these scenes, Star Wars Uncut, with the kids when they were really young. Here, I'm going to play a couple of them because it's just so cute. And I know what you're talking about, Mike. It's so cute to have them engaged. Here's...
Ready? Let's back.
Okay.
First thing I have.
This is me at the office.
So, action!
So then you watch this stuff. I don't know. Can you guys see that? So
Yeah.
And then we had another scene where he had to practice his screaming for. Xavier was Princess Leia. So this is pretty funny.
And action. Loud.
He's playing his iPad in the back.
Try it again. Even louder. Go. Good.
Ready? All right. So then, that made it when we were at Comic Con, and my wife got an email that said your kids made the movie, but even more, they're in the trailer of the movie. And Renee started crying. She was just crying. And this is the scene in the movie where they made it. Hold on. This is the actual film here. Hold on one second.
Oh, that's an awesome helmet.
That is. Look at the camera that they're using.
Yeah.
The U-scope.
That's pretty cool.
You'll see it in a second. Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
All right, hold on. So we just kind of painted the background to make it look like it's Hoth, right? We must have played that a trillion times, you know? And it's just so much fun to be able to kind of look back and look at a memory that you share with Star Wars that has your family in it, you know? So, I mean, that's like 1% of what the Hintons do, but I'm pretty happy with it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's so cute.
my photo on my computer in my office is, it's all marked by events. Like I can tell what year by what costume they had. You know, because
so have you gotten, since you've been building the costumes or the outfits,
mm-hmm.
what caused you to do it in the first place?
Well, I wanted a stormtrooper. And then when I got the Jawa robes for the girls, and the robes were nice. I got them from Chris Bartlett. I can't sew. So that's my weakness. But everyone was selling these Jawa faces and I didn't like them. So that's the first thing I built, because there's a photo that some guy won an award. We were in Hershey and they took a picture of the girls, and it's an unaltered photo of them as Jawas. I'll have to find it and share with you guys. But I wanted a mask that looked just like the Jawas or better than the Jawas in the movie. And that's one of my first thing I built. And then my second big thing I built was her Sabine, because when she wanted Sabine, no one made it. Right. I bought the helmet because I didn't think I had the skills to make a helmet, but the armor, I just went online and found people making it. And then that's where my wife helped me, because Sabine is some weird colors because of the lighting they use in Rebels. And if you're not careful, she turns up pink. And I knew she wasn't pink. So my wife, I think the first Sabine, we had paint from Michaels, Joann Fabrics, AC Moore, Home Depot. We had different brands of paint just so I could get all those different colors.
Wow.
And then it just started being fun. And I thought, you know, it's a shame it took me into my late 40s to figure out that I actually enjoyed doing that stuff. I just thought I couldn't. And I started making molds. Like my first mold I made was for Ketsu. It's Sabine's friend from Rebels. Safi went as Ketsu to Orlando.
So and you never did that before. It wasn't like a skill that you already had.
No, I'm a math teacher by training.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Star Wars Geek Girl. It's an odd episode, and me and Zoe were guests on the podcast, The Forces Behind Star Wars podcast. And it was a privilege to be interviewed by Ken, Anthony, and Demetrius. So if you want to hear the whole episode, you can find it on The Forces Behind Star Wars podcast. It is their episode 15. It's on iTunes, wherever you find your podcast. Or we're going to run, we split it up into three episodes, and we're going to run the next two back-to-back on Star Wars Geek Girls podcast. So thanks again for listening, and check out their podcast. Thanks again to Ken, Anthony, and Demetrius for having us on.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars.
And sometimes cry.